fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
All right, it is Tuesday, May 9th. Welcome back, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today. Hope you had a good weekend. I am Adam Azer, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, on Twitter. Here's at Dave Richard. What's up, at Dave Richard?
What's going on, Adam?
At Adam Azer, but that's okay.
No, we're not on Twitter.
Hey, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. What's
this
up?
This is real life.
Yeah. Okay, everybody's here. Jamie's here. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, buddy.
We're going to continue talking about last week's draft with some interesting mid to late round picks. Mostly this will be a mailbag show at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Some questions that you will be hearing the answers to later. Who are some guys we love right now that we want to draft in every league? Who are some guys that we don't really want on our team but have a hard time passing them up based on ADP? Is it okay to use the force when you're drafting? And do you play in best ball leagues? And what are your strategies? So these are
some
of them.
Now he's all about the Star Wars. He watches Star Wars after years and years of catching hell for not watching Star Wars. And now all he wants to do is use the force.
I'd love to use the force.
Did you buy a lightsaber?
No, but I was working on my impression of, these are not the running backs you're looking for. Something like that. How is that?
You see all of them?
I'll update you on that in just a little bit.
Oh boy, what a tease!
Yeah, random questions to start the show. A couple of random questions. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do this on Thursday on our next podcast when we have Heath join us. The Giants, the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Bucks all made significant additions to their receiving core, either in the draft or free agency or both. Atlanta did not. Does that make Julio Jones the number one wide receiver?
No.
Who did the Steelers add?
Juju. Well,
they had a second
round
pick.
We're going to say Juju Smith-Schuster?
Martavis Bryant.
Well, I'll give you Martavis. But we saw Antonio Brown play very well with Martavis in the past.
We have. That is true.
Nope. I'm still going to take Brown first.
All right. That was a pretty easy answer to the question.
Do you disagree? Are you taking Julio Jones number one?
You know, what was really weird is Julio Jones had fewer targets than all those guys last year, or than at least Brown and Beckham. He only had 9.2 targets per game. It's actually pretty low for an elite receiver. They throw their running back so much, but I will say that I am a little concerned about Beckham's targets going down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to make of Brown's year last year. He only had 4 100-yard games. Le'Veon Bell really took away a lot of targets from Antonio Brown. Gosh, was that the beginning of the like steady decline of Antonio Brown's career last year? Because it was significantly worse than the two previous years, which were off the charts.
I mean, it could be, but you also have to deal with Julio's foot problems.
Yeah,
and
I know.
The fact that he doesn't score touchdowns.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
So those are two things. Plus, there's a coordinator change.
Yeah,
so,
three.
You know,
I think that's a big thing.
You could say that there's no addition, but does Taylor Gabriel take on more work? Does Mohamed Sanu take on more work? Does Austin Hooper take on more work? I mean, you know, those are guys that, you know, first year for Sanu, really, you know, sort of a coming out party for Gabriel, and then Hooper, somebody that
Hooper.
They drafted to be a little bit more involved. I did this story for our magazine, so I won't give you like all the details on it, but breaking down the 8 receivers who I think are going to be drafted in the first 2 rounds of every fantasy draft, and I, you know, did a lot of research on these guys. One of my favorite stats on Julio Jones, he's number one in NFL history with an average of 96.3 yards per game. Second all-time, Odell Beckham, 95.9. Where do you think Jerry Rice stacks up based on hearing those two numbers, knowing that he's not first or second comparatively?
Rice had a ton of touchdowns. I'd say he's significantly down.
I wouldn't say significantly. I'd say he's like 6th or 7th.
He's 11th. Mm. 75.6 yards per game.
That's even
on
lower
average.
Than I thought it would be.
How crazy is that Julio is 20 yards better. Julio and Odell, 20 yards better per game on average than Jerry Rice. Antonio Brown is 5th on that list, 82.9.
It's just a different
now,
era.
Now, to take into account, I'm sure if you took the sample size for Julio and Odell is in their prime. So it's probably going to get worse and worse as they get older, which is taking into account Rice, you know, as he finished his career. But it's just really staggering when you think about it. Calvin Johnson, who retired in his prime, 86.1 yards per game.
Yep.
So Julio is actually the only player in NFL history to have averaged 100 yards per game over a four-year span.
Wow. Very interesting.
And what did he average this past year? Wasn't 100 yards per game this past year.
It's 100 yards a game for 4 years of his
career. Yeah, it is, Dave. Almost exactly. He had played 14 games and had 1,409 yards. Yeah. All right. Now, I think we'll all take Brown, right? That the case?
Yeah. Brown? You want to hear my favorite stat on Brown?
Yeah.
So, in 2015, at home, you ready for these stats?
Yeah, go for it.
74 catches, 1,038 yards, and 8 touchdowns in 8 home games. So, we talk about how great Ben Roethlisberger is at home. It's a big reason why is because Antonio Brown is pretty great at home, too.
Next question, next random question. How many of the top 10 running backs have good handcuff situations? Good handcuff situations, a guy that if the starter gets hurt, you feel comfortable starting the backup.
So we're going off what our consensus rankings here?
Yeah.
Looking at this? Because yeah. I think you could obviously make a strong argument that Atlanta and Tennessee, we all have that guy starter ranked and Freeman and Murray ranked in our top 10. So the backups there are clearly locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But how badly do you want them?
That's not necessarily the question that he's asking, though.
Well, those guys are sort of different cases. Obviously, if Derrick Henry is a starter, we're going to love him. If Tevin Coleman is a starter, we're going to love him. But let's go through it here, because I don't think there are that many, right? I mean, we were kind of looking at this before the show. There aren't that many clear-cut, like very good D'Angelo Williams-type handcuffs, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say half of them.
Okay.
A backup that I'd feel good about. And some of them I feel downright terrible about.
You think there's half? You think there's five that are
I think out of the 10, including Freeman and DeMarco, there's half.
So there's three more? Because I don't see that there's three more that you could say would be starting caliber fantasy running backs.
I would say that James Conner behind
Le'Veon
Bell would be.
I mean, I agree with you. There's
like I would want to have that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just because I know what the track record is of Steelers running backs.
I guess we're working on different parameters because I think Conner could be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, the same thing you could say, Kerwin Williams could be that guy.
Okay.
But we don't know.
Would you prioritize getting Connor if you took Le'Veon Bell in round one?
I would try to, yes. Okay. I wouldn't feel completely disappointed if I didn't get him.
Whereas if you took David Johnson in round one, who's the guy behind him?
Well, that's the point, though. James Connor may be that guy, but he also may be just Kerwin Williams. You know, I mean, that's kind of the point. So I think, like, to at least the way I'm interpreting Adam's question, like, who could be D'Angelo Williams? Now, James Connor could be. But we don't know. We know D'Angelo Williams would be that guy.
Are you saying we don't know that Connor's gonna be the number two running
no.
back? Or are you
well,
saying
yes, there's
we
also
don't
that,
know
there's
if
also there's also that uncertainty. But I think the point would be is, and Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, that if the starter goes down, you're feeling comfortable, confident, 100% certain, because you've seen it before, that guy could step in and be a starter for your fantasy team.
I think the because you've seen it before phrase there is really not required. I think this question is sort of a matter of interpretation. I guess on draft day, you have to take a guess. If you feel like James Conner would be that guy, then you could include him on this list. If you say, well, I just don't know, then you could, it's totally up to you. You could not include him on the list. Who has a clear-cut handcuff that we have a very good feeling would be good? Is there anyone?
LeSean McCoy's handcuff.
I think it's just three. Again, to me, Jonathan Williams is kind of the same situation.
It's because you haven't seen it before.
Well, I mean, he was good his last year in college. Then he mm-hmm. sat out a year in college. Then he was terrible when he got some opportunities last year. So, yes, he's the next man up. James Conner's the next man up. Like the way I'm viewing it, I could be wrong. I mean, Kenyon Drake could also be that guy. But I really only see three.
Who are your three?
The two that we mentioned and Darren McFadden.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm loving Darren McFadden, but it's almost for the same reason why I would want the handcuff to Le'Veon Bell. It's the system. It's the offensive line. It's how they operate.
Right.
It's what they ask of their lead running
back. I guess the thing would be is that would James Conner become D'Angelo Williams?
I think he's got the chance to.
I agree.
That's why I'm drafting
him. But I don't think it's about I guess I'm interpreting it wrong.
Let's not get too deviled
in
the details here.
Comfortable starting.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's if you were writing your waiver wire column and Le'Veon Bell got hurt, Conner would be the lead, no? It'd be a no-brainer.
Almost certainly, unless, of course, we're, you know, 6-7 weeks in and Le'Veon's still been getting the majority of touches and, you know, they come out after the game and it's Connor and now Davis, you know, they're going to split the workload. Yes, Connor would be the one that we would focus on, but, you know, what if the times that we've seen him on the field, he looked awful?
I do get the sense, just a gut feeling, they invested a fairly early draft pick in him, that they would give Connor a pretty good opportunity.
Oh, I don't want to poo-poo, you know, Connor's potential, because I think it's there. I'm just probably interpreting it wrong than the way that you two are saying it, because I think Connor would be great. I think Jonathan Williams would be great. I think Kenyon Drake would be, you know, potentially great. You know, who knows? With the Jaguars, if they turn things around, if Fournette gets hurt, T.J. Yeldon could be great.
Okay, so who's got the best handcuff situation outside of Tennessee and Atlanta of the top 10 running backs, the best handcuff situation in your opinion? Dallas?
I still think it's McFadden.
Dave, Pittsburgh?
I think Dallas is the safest one to say because we've seen it and okay. We know what McFadden can do. We don't know for sure that James Conner is going to be the guy. We're making that assumption on May 9th. But if Conner's that guy, I think it's Conner.
All righty. Got a couple of new podcasts I want to tell you about. One is called In This Corner with Brian Campbell. It is a WWE, MMA, and boxing podcast. It is awesome. They're recording about 3 times per week, depends on the week. And Brian's is a great host, a lot of fun. In This Corner with Brian Campbell. Check that out. The other is a golf podcast. Golf podcasts can be kind of boring, but not this one. This one's pretty cool. The First Cut with Kyle Porter. The First Cut with Kyle Porter. You can just look for The First Cut, I think, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever. And check out the new podcast. If you want to know all of our podcasts, you can go to cbssports.com/podcast. If you want to, pick some winners in games, we have sportsline.com for you. Sportsline is awesome, and it's $9.99 a month. And a lot of these competing websites charge hundreds of dollars a month. So Sportsline is $9.99 a month. Like Larry Hartstein, one of our experts, 10-0 in his last 10 NBA playoff picks against the spread. Or that could be over-unders, too. He's got a pick on Rockets Spurs tonight. So Sportsline, $9.99 a month. Larry, by the way, he's up $27.60 for $100 players. So he's had a great year. We have a lot of really smart people doing that. News and notes, then we'll do the mid to late round draft picks that I thought were interesting, and then we'll do your emails, certainly the second half of the show, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right, so the ESPN beat writers have been doing some speculation. Some of it's pretty interesting. Here are three, courtesy of RotoWorld. ESPN's Rich Cimini expects Bilal Powell to be the Jets' lead running back this year. ESPN's Catherine Terrell thinks Joe Mixon will get, quote, a heavy dose of playing time right away, end quote. And Adam Teicher believes he's a Chiefs reporter for ESPN. He thinks Spencer Ware is the likely starter. So big roles for Bilal Powell, Joe Mixon, and Spencer Ware. Any reaction to this, guys?
If you read the Mixon story, it mentions special teams being something that he gets a start on right away, and that his playing time will hinge, A, on Giovanni Bernard's health, and B, on whether or not he can flash in camp to play ahead of Jeremy Hill.
He's the best running back there. And
I think he is. I think it's just a matter of the coaches realizing it and saying, we got to go with it.
Powell was pretty interesting because this guy, Bilal Powell, was so good last year. He averaged 5.5 yards per carry. You look at the last 4 games of the year, he got extensive work, and he was really good in 3 of the 4 games. And he scored 7 points in the other in a standard scoring league, which isn't bad. And Powell has shown he's a good pass catcher. Last 2 years, he's got around 45 and 55 catches in those 2 seasons. At 58 last year. So, if Bilal Powell is the lead running back in New York for the Jets, what does that look like to you? What kind of split would you estimate? And is he underrated right now?
I think he's a little underrated. I think part of it is, though, everything he did with his superlatives was when Matt Forte was out. So you have to take into account, Forte's not just going away. It's not like he's just going to be, okay, if Powell goes down, we're going to bring Forte. It's going to be a split, most likely an even split. But Powell's the better of the two. The thing that I hate about the entire Jets team is the entire Jets team. So, I mean, you know, their offensive line over the last couple of years has been good on a steady decline, and now they're basically overhauling the whole thing. Kelvin Beachum's the left tackle. James Carpenter's the left guard. Wesley Johnson's the center. Brian Winters is the right guard, and I don't even know how to pronounce the guy at right tackle's name, Ben something.
Jelani?
Yeah, there you go. So it's an uninspiring group that didn't exactly play great last year. And the quarterback situation, I don't know if that's an upgrade with Josh McCown, the expected starter, or could be Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg.
It's ugly.
It's ugly. And
but
so
I will say one thing for Bilal Powell. Dump off passes will come in a flurry.
Right.
Every single game.
Right. But again, so will they to Matt Forte.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Their whole offense.
It's amazing to me how well Bilal Powell did last year. Now, one of those games was against San Francisco. I can almost eliminate that from memory, but it doesn't really matter. They were that bad, but still, I mean, he was really good last year. So I'm sure we'd all love to see Powell get the opportunity. He went in the seventh round of the 12-team standard scoring league we did, the draft we did last week. He went right ahead of Frank Gore, but after Paul Perkins, Rob Kelly, Kareem Hunt, Ty Montgomery, Doug Martin, Derrick Henry, and then Bilal Powell. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's the right range for him, but it all depends on how much you think he's going to be, how much you think Matt Forte is not going to play. Because if you're in the camp of Forte is the backup, and he's in the Powell role that we saw last year where Powell didn't get a chance to really play until Forte went down, then that's where you take him. If you think that, like, you look at it, and I think if I saw it correctly, because I usually like to look when I see these notes come out where we all have him ranked, I think I'm in between both guys. I think Keith is completely Matt Forte still. He has Forte ranked 26th. Dave has Powell 29th. Dave and I are about the same. He has 29th. I am 34th. And Heath has Powell 36th. Dave is completely off the Forte reservation, though.
Yeah, I don't want him.
He has him 44th, which is fair. I mean, you know, just given what he is at this point in his career. But I just can't see them saying, okay, Matt, thank you. You're done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they rotated series with them. And then when it's the two-minute drill, it's Bilal Powell.
Right, but that hurts Powell.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he just wins the job or Forte gets hurt. But the other thing to mention here with Powell, we can move on after this. This is his seventh season in the league. The Jets have never trusted him. Maybe they're just dumb, or maybe they just know something, and he's not supposed to be a feature running back. But
and that's over a couple different coachings.
Yeah.
10 years, too.
All right. Max Unger, Saints center, with a foot injury. There are differing reports on a timetable for Unger. Could be back in August, could start the season on the PUP list, but this could be pretty significant for the New Orleans Saints. This is a very, very good center. Dave, what's your reaction to the Max Unger injury?
It hurts. We've been talking about this offensive line as one of the best up-and-coming units in the league. I haven't gone and like done a full analysis of every offensive line, but it wouldn't surprise me if I ended up putting them top five. And a lot of that has to do with Unger, who's arguably one of the best centers in the game now. So without him there, I'm sure it's a drop off from him to the next best guy. I think Lolito is going to end up competing for that center role, or maybe they go with one of their street free agents. They don't have a lot of guys behind him. I don't even know if Lolito's still there.
They did draft Ramchek.
I don't think Lolito's even there.
Not a center.
They got Ramchek, and I don't know why. That he's not a center. If he's going to play right tackle, that bumps Streif off the roster.
They weren't expecting Unger to be hurt at the time of the draft.
I think he got hurt after the draft.
Right.
Yeah, it's Kellen Mene might be the guy they go to. It's going to be a big drop because Unger's one of the best centers, and he helps
run. Why they traded
games.
Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Yeah, to get him. Yeah. Fortify that run game.
It's kind of like one of these things where I feel like people might not factor it in on draft day. You know, you know that Max Unger got hurt. And I will say that the last year before Max Unger arrived, he's been there two seasons for the Saints. They averaged 4.5 yards per carry, which is very, very good as a team. And like last year, they were at 4.3. The year before Unger's first year, they were at 3.8. So it's not to say that their run game would completely fall apart. He also helps their pass game. You know, with Drew Brees, a smaller quarterback, he needs the center and the guards to be really strong for him to stay in the pocket. But yeah, it's like one of those things. Like it happened to Lamar Miller, right? Lamar Miller, they get some offensive line injuries during the preseason. Nobody really downgraded him. He had a crappy year. So should we be downgrading Mark Ingram? You know, forget about the Adrian Peterson thing. Did you downgrade Mark Ingram with the Max Unger news?
Not yet. I mean, like you said, there's different reports. There was one, I think, that came out today that he'll be ready for training camp. You know, so just have to wait and see what the end result is. But yeah, it's going to hurt. It's just another red flag against all the running backs in New Orleans, and you know, you can even say it further downgrades Drew Brees.
Alrighty, let's talk about some interesting mid to late round picks in the 12-team standard scoring draft that we did last week, where it's two running backs, two receivers, and a flex. Doug Martin was the first pick of round 7. This was a 12-team league, so that's 73rd overall. First pick of round 7 for Doug Martin. Jacquizz Rodgers went 115th overall, right in the middle of round 10. Doug Martin, early round 7. Jacquizz Rodgers, middle of round 10. What do you think?
I think that's what you have to do if you want to get those guys on your team. And I don't mind. I think it's going to be an interesting strategy for people to pick out the teams that have less than desirable running backs that you can get in round 7 or later, and you try and get them both, and you make those guys your number 3 running back. And this might be the best team to do it with, Tampa Bay, where you get Doug Martin, and I think round 7 is going to be right about where he's going to go. And Quiz is going to go, I think 10 is kind of late for Quiz. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a round 9 pick.
A lot of mouths to feed there, though, now that they drafted McNichols and Charles Sims is still going to be a factor.
I mean,
you say that, but
those
know,
guys aren't
Sims, Sims was still. They may not. Jacquizz Rodgers isn't great. I mean,
that's true. He's not. He's really not.
You're talking about guys that are just guys, and so it's a reason why you're hearing Dirk Cutter say McNichols has to earn his spot, and you know Sims kind of has his role a little bit pegged.
Do you think there's a way that Sims becomes the lead back for Tampa Bay?
Sure. Jacquizz Rodgers reverts back to being Jacquizz Rodgers. He had a good stretch last year. Look, I like the fit. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, he's a cutter guy. He followed him from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He clearly trusts him. He trusted him a lot last year. He trusted him at some points more than he trusted his own quarterback. You know, there was a game against Carolina, Monday night or a Thursday night game.
They didn't have to.
Where they just gave him 30 carries.
Yeah.
And so there's clearly a rapport there that Cutter likes. So it just seems as if there's just so many guys there. And so I don't know how much you need to reach for Jacquizz Rodgers. Round 10, I think, is about the spot I would look for.
McNichols as a fifth round pick. He, you know, whatever. Fifth round draft picks in the NFL draft, often you never hear about them. So,
sure. It's certainly fair, but I think you just have to take into account that there are a lot of guys there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's another situation. Let's look at the Ravens. Kenneth Dixon went with the 4th pick of round 8, 88th overall. Terrence West went with the 9th pick of round 11. I picked both of them. So I took Dixon first and Terrence West second in the 8th and 9th rounds. Wait. Did I take both of them?
You definitely took West. I don't know if you took Dixon.
I might be lying about that. Yeah, I think I just took West. Wow, God, I wouldn't.
No, you took Dixon. 88th overall.
Did I not take Terrence West? Oh, I took them both. I'm the man. Okay, so that's the thing about that. But, who should I have taken first? Kenneth Dixon? Did I say I took West in round 9? I took him in round 11. That's why I got confused.
All right. This has been a fun segment.
Dixon in round 8, West in round 11. Who do you think should actually go first among those two?
Dixon's more popular. He's going to be the one who goes first.
He may not be more popular, though, come draft time. Because you know there's the 4-game suspension built in. And West is getting a lot of positive pub from the media in Baltimore, from John Harbaugh. And look, he was the better of the two last year just in terms of overall stats. So I think Dixon has more upside. I think it'll be interesting to see when you throw Danny Woodhead into the mix. But there's a little bit of a wild card right now because there was an ESPN report that LeGarrette Blount would be a good fit there. So that would kind of throw off all of this if that happens, especially for somebody like West, who's, you know, a plotting type of guy like LeGarrette Blount is.
Which backfield would you rather invest mid-round picks in, the Bucks or the Ravens?
I feel you can get the Ravens cheaper, but I'd rather have the Bucks. Like the Ravens, you can get Dixon in 8, and then Terrence West. I almost think round 11 is like when people might wake up and realize that he's somebody to go get. Only like the ardent zero RB drafters will consider Terrence West before round 11.
You know, what's funny though is, why is he any different than Jacquizz Rodgers?
He's not. The difference is that Tampa Bay is a better team that's expected to be good. Baltimore, I don't know if we can say the same thing.
No, I agree. But you get an extra game with West. Martin suspended for 3 games. Dixon for 4. You have the Danny Woodhead factor that's going to hurt West, most likely if Woodhead's right. But Charles Sims could kind of be a poor man's Danny Woodhead for the Bucks on a better team, like you said. So I think it's The player with the most upside of that group is Doug Martin, because when he's right, we've seen how good he can be.
Okay, let's go to wide receivers. We can talk about the Bengals, too. And actually, I wanted to bring this up, because Joe Mixon went in the middle of round three. We talked about that a lot on our last podcast. Jeremy Hill went with the 9th pick of round 8. That's 93rd overall in a 12-team league. And Giovanni Bernard was the 2nd pick of round 10. I think Heath took Gio. Now that Joe Mixon is there, in a standard scoring league, is there any reason to draft Giovanni Bernard?
Maybe you feel sorry for him. Round 13, I feel bad. Gio's still there. I put him on my roster.
He could probably play the same role.
Yeah, he was never a guy like...
Mixon is Gio's role?
No. Mixon's going to replace Jeremy Hill.
He could.
Bernard's going to end up being the same role that he was. Work on passing down.
Mixon can take his role, too.
For sure.
That's the best part about Mixon, is that he can back up either one of those guys, replace either one of those guys. He can make them both obsolete, like a 1988 IBM.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm trying to come up with another Mixon pun. I forgot to do my Unger pun. I was going to say, would you say there's an Unger strike in New Orleans? But I didn't say it, so let's just forget it. You don't have to answer that. I had a Mixon pun last week.
It better be better than the Unger pun.
It probably was. I think we said Mixing It Up was a team name. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, that's the Bengals. Wide receivers. Breshad Perriman was the 3rd pick of round 10. And last 9 games, he did not get targeted that much, but check this awesome, probably irrelevant stat out. He scored 47 fantasy points on 33 targets. This is Ravens wide receiver Breshad Perriman. So Perriman averaged 1.4 fantasy points per target. That's a lot. Jordy Nelson averaged 1.33 fantasy points per target in standard scoring leagues, and Jordy Nelson was the number one wide receiver in fantasy. Touchdowns have a huge role in that, obviously. Is Perriman... this is not somebody I even consider drafting, but this is the kind of guy that I look at the draft results and I say, maybe I should be considering Breshad Perriman. You tell me.
One of my favorite late round picks. Because he's going to get, as long as he stays healthy, which is a big deal for him because he's had a hard time doing that. But if he's healthy, he's going to get plenty of opportunities in a Ravens passing game that really wasn't altered, even though they lost Steve Smith.
They're going to sign Anquan Boldin.
Would that really change your opinion? Would be you. Would that really change your opinion, though, on Breshad Perriman?
No, I think that would take red zone work away from him.
I think you kind of know what Perriman is at this point. Like Dave said, if he stays healthy, there's a ton of upside there. But he's also a guy that's had a problem with drops going back to college. He's a guy that still shares a field with kind of a similar player who's proven to be better than him, even in their tenure together, in Mike Wallace. So he's a great late-round pick, and he's probably the first guy you're going to cut. And then he'll have a big week, and you'll try and pick him back up again. And then 2 weeks later, you'll cut him again. So he's the antithesis of the player you avoid, Adam.
Yeah. If it's late, yeah, all right. And Mike Wallace went in round 14. Look, I had some more interesting picks to talk about.
Wallace is always undervalued. I mean, you know, you think about it, when he was a bust in Miami, he still had a 10-touchdown season. He was a, top 30 receiver last year in Baltimore?
Was he? Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was up there.
Yeah. So who's better value, Mike Wallace in round 14 or Breshad Perriman in round 10?
Wallace.
I just
getting him later and he's better.
Is he better?
Are you ever starting him?
I'm not starting either one unless they show me something. But Wallace last year, he had a 1,000-yard season.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Think about it.
This is the difference between two guys. So Tyrell Williams had Amari Cooper had a good season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tyrell Williams had a good season last year?
Yes.
Both those guys, 1,059 for Williams and 7 touchdowns. Cooper was 1,153 and 5 touchdowns. Mike Wallace was 1,017 and 4 touchdowns.
So he was behind him.
And there's 10 rounds in between the two of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, Mike Wallace scored 3 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks of the season. He
But Perryman's going to be ugly. Those type of receivers are ugly.
But Perriman at least has the chance. Like you say, we know what Perriman is. We don't have no idea what Perriman is. Like
I think there's a chance for Perriman to play exceptionally well.
I don't disagree with that. But the 4-round difference of a guy who's been proven, who's still going to be among their target leaders, they're probably going to be close in targets if they're both healthy.
There's no reason
to think that Perryman's going to be leaps and bounds better than what Mike Wallace was just a year ago.
No, but four round difference is one thing when you talk about the difference between like rounds 3 and round 7. When you talk about round 10, and I probably shouldn't even ask the question. Round 10 and round 14, I mean, once you get to late round picks, you get to late round picks. You know what I mean? they're mostly the same. So I don't know. It's just the potential, I think, of Perryman is, to me, worth it over Mike Wallace for sure.
Agreed.
Yeah, but not really.
But I'll still take the four-round difference. I'd rather take the three other players I can get in between there.
Okay. Well, I'd rather get tickets to games on SeatGeek. Big spring, big summer coming up. Baseball games, concerts, comedy shows, theater. We've got a great way for you to buy tickets online and save money, and that's SeatGeek. SeatGeek has created an amazing app that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And if you want to save $20, you download the SeatGeek app and you use our promo code FFT. That's promo code FFT for a $20 rebate. I always use SeatGeek. I really do. I just bought Yankees tickets last week on SeatGeek. I've already used the promo code, but I still use SeatGeek because it price compares for me, ensures that I always get the best possible deal. SeatGeek saves me time and money. You search for an event, you quickly see the best values and the best bargains, you buy your tickets. So download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code FFT to get a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase. That's promo code FFT. I'm telling you, SeatGeek is the best place for tickets. Use that SeatGeek app. Time for emails. I love our listeners, guys. Very dedicated. We appreciate it. We have so many emails. Obviously can't read them all. But I do want to thank you all for contributing to the show. This is from Johnny Bananas from the Badger State. Dear Ghidorah, G-H-I-D-O-R-A-H. I had to Google that. Appears to be a three-headed dragon, which I guess is us.
All right.
Yeah. What do you think about the value of Marshawn Lynch as a season-long running back versus just the first three or four games of production? As a season-long running back, I think he belongs in the RB 15 to 20 range. I know Dave and Jamie would disagree with that, but I'll keep reading.
No, then, I agree.
Marshawn Lynch, 15 to 20? Mm-hmm. Oh, you have him there? Okay. Then a thought occurred to me that if I could get the first three or four games of production out of Lynch and trade him at peak value for a higher upside running back, that I should do that. I could see Oakland giving him a higher volume for the first month while he's fresh to showcase him to the fan base, and then cut back as the season goes forward. What do you think, Marshawn Lynch?
I don't know if teams think about it like that, where they want to showcase a player to their fans.
He gets off to a good start. You trade him the minute you can.
Okay.
I don't know. I think there's going to be somebody in every draft who targets Lynch. They want to have him. They want to believe in beast mode.
Oh, yeah.
They know how fun it is. And they know how good that Oakland offense is. It's going to be very hard for defenses to stack the box against Marshawn Lynch. But we know how old he is. We know what happened the last time he got on the field. We know he didn't play last year. It's a pretty big leap of faith to go after Marshawn Lynch. He's almost one of those running backs that you'll settle for as your number two and not target as your number two.
Well, like you said, there's going to be somebody in every draft that reaches for him.
Yeah.
So it's probably unlikely that happens.
Right. We're probably not going to have Marshawn Lynch on a lot of our teams.
Well, you might if you have him ranked 15 to 20.
I got him 17.
But older guys could not wear down.
Running back.
That's a round three, round four pick.
It is. It's close to round four for me.
Well, older guys can wear down, you know. So I could see the validity in Johnny Bananas. This is not Bananas, this email.
It's very smart. If you want to draft him with the hope that he gets off to a hot start, then by all means do so. Just make sure that you trade him when you possibly can, because it's very unlikely he's going to make it through 16 games as a starter and producing at a high level.
All right, this is an email from Joe. And where is he from?
San Jose, California.
All right, Joe from San Jose. This is Dear Reggie, Sam, Otto, and Maurice. This is Rocket Power, a cartoon I've never heard of. I just did my first mock post-rookie draft and get the feeling there's some good mid to late round value out there. Who are you starting to lean heavily towards? Last year, Jamie, this is kind of an unintentionally mean email. Jamie loved Moncrief and Kobe Fleener. Dave was all about Kenneth Dixon and Tajae Sharpe. Heath favored Matt Ryan. And Adam, we all know you love CJ Anderson and quite possibly the biggest bust of the draft, Michael Floyd. Whether you guys are right or wrong about these players, are there any mid to late round value picks that you can see yourself taking a lot of this year? Who are your guys in the draft?
Perryman's one of them for me.
Yeah, a lot of the rookie running backs with the mid round picks.
Yes.
Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams. Later, Samaje Perine, Marlon Mack. Later would be Kamara, Foreman.
Oh, Sneed Connor. For you, Jamie.
Huh?
Sneed?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at running backs. But, yeah, the receiver spot, it would be Snead. It would be Crowder. Those are two of my favorite guys this year. J.J. Nelson is somebody that I'm excited to take. John Brown, you know, just because of his bounce-back ability. Yeah, I mean, those are – it's still Moncrief. I mean, you know, still somebody that continuing to find a way to move him up my rankings as well.
I like, in addition to the receivers Jamie named, I like Tyrell Williams. I still think he has a big role with the Chargers.
Really?
You know, between him and Rashard, not to cut you off, between him and Rashard Matthews, they're falling to good spots.
I know.
So, you know, while they're probably second for Matthews, third for Williams in terms of targets on their respective teams at the receiver position, they're still going to be heavily involved.
I also like Cameron Meredith in Chicago because I think he could end up being the number one receiver. It looks like he's going to move to the outside, played in the slot.
Wait, can you not talk about him? Because I want to talk about him in the next show, Cameron Meredith.
I'm done talking about him.
I'll give you another one of my favorites, and that's Pierre Garçon. Kyle Shanahan's track record with number one guys, and there is nothing else in that offense.
And they're going to throw a lot, so that's a really good one. And, I mean, how many quarterbacks could you grab late and feel good about starting?
Oh, yeah.
From Derek Carr to Mariota to, I think, Roethlisberger could slide down there. Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins.
Okay, can I ask a question about Garçon?
Sure.
Why is this any different than Torrey Smith with the Niners?
Coach.
Okay.
And player. I mean, Torrey Smith is a one-trick pony. He's Breshad Perriman. He's Mike Wallace.
Torrey Smith was probably a better player when he first joined the 49ers than Pierre Garçon is now at this point in his career.
I would disagree, but I understand where you're getting at. You know, just based on age, you would probably say that Torrey Smith is probably athletically better, but Garçon and the way that he plays, even at 30, is probably better than Torrey Smith when he was, what, 26 when he went there?
Well, maybe more reliable for fantasy. Better, I guess we could debate, but I'll give you more reliable for sure.
There's a couple things that factor in with Garçon, and it's somewhat of a hard sell, but you have to, again, look at the coach and what his track record has been. So Brian Hoyer, what has he done when he's been a quarterback? He kind of locks in on one guy. That's why we liked DeAndre Hopkins a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was playing great because he locked in on him. When he was in Cleveland, you know, for the couple starts he made, he locked in on Josh Gordon. Last year, we saw it with Cam Meredith, right? With the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, Kevin White when he was healthy. So he has an ability to find a guy. But think about that receiving core. You know who's starting opposite Pierre Garçon right now? I know Dave can name this. Can you add him? Who the starter is opposite Pierre Garçon? Don't look it up, Dave, if you're looking.
Would I not know it? Would I know it? It's not the guy that I loved for.
I'm going to count to three, and both of you could say a name. Three, two, one.
Mark Duper. Dave?
Is it Ellington?
Nope. Marquise Goodwin.
Ah.
That's how ugly it is. That's how bad it is right now in San Francisco.
Well, who's going to start there after he gets hurt?
Could be Ellington. Could be DeAndre Smelter. Could be, who knows? Maybe they put Carlos Hyde at receiver.
All right, let's get to the next one. He's going to get a ton
of targets.
Right. Yeah. That's why I like him.
I know.
And so I've taken Pierre Garçon in almost every draft. You look at Shanahan's track record. You know, Garcon's not a big touchdown guy. That's kind of been the knock on him. Vance McDonald could certainly play a role there. You know, they added some tight ends. Logan Paulson, I believe, was somebody that
His name is Logan Paulson.
They signed as a free agent. Blake Bell could see some opportunities, but I think Garçon is, you know, you want to talk about somebody that I'll go to bat for. That's one.
All right. I like it. Jeremy from the town of the Nittany Lions. Happy
State
Valley.
College?
Happy Valley. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Is that the name of the town?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought State College was the name of the town.
Oh, maybe. Shut up, Dave. Hello, McLean, Powell, and Thornburg.
Die hard.
Die hard. I was wondering if you knew or could come up with an accepted term for a player which you do not want on your team, but you would have a hard time not drafting based on their ADP. A term for this.
So we're saying that the ADP is low?
You agree that the ADP is fair. You just don't want to take him. And you might have to take him because the player is falling farther.
We just discussed this. My lead to my bus column is almost exactly this conversation, because in our last draft, Dave did not want to take, where someone suggested to him, Adrian Peterson, which was round 5 at number 69 overall. And then he ended up taking him at round 7 at pick number 100 overall.
So is that a
is
Peterson?
Is it as simple as saying a guy that you'd settle for?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because
like
we talk about that. A settler.
A settler. Like a settler of Catan. We could call it a Catan. I'm trying to be creative here. There's a band
when I think
that,
of settlers, I think of like Little House on the Prairie.
Or like
guys in suspenders and white shirts.
A Christopher Columbus.
Horse-drawn carriages.
A Christopher Columbus. We call it Columbus. Okay, I'm out of ideas. I was going to go even weirder, but I'm done embarrassing myself. You know, I'm going to tell you something. The people on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, the guest hosts, the analysts, they laugh at my jokes. So maybe they're not doing me a favor. Maybe they're making me think that I am funny and you guys are quickly bringing me back down. Or maybe you guys are just kind of harsh critics.
No, you're just not funny.
Well, I mean, you know, we could debate the merits of the sense of humor of the other three guys.
Well, Heath is one of them. Like, and Heath will even laugh at my jokes on that show and not this one.
That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, I laughed. See?
Thank you, Dave.
That wasn't a joke, though. You were just saying a fact.
Self-deprecating. All right, so they're we're going to call them Christopher Columbuses. Coach Papo says, I just finished last week's podcast. How did the Star Wars weekend go? Return of the Jedi is my fave. Barely over Empire Strikes Back. Very underrated, much like Auctions. Yeah, we can agree there. Auctions are underrated. So, how did it go? Well, it didn't go. I didn't watch any of them. So, sorry about that.
What did you do instead?
A lot. Friday, we went to dinner at the place we'll be having a rehearsal dinner at, which Jamie won't be at.
Where's that?
You think so.
You won't be where's there. That? I guarantee it. It's in
what do you think is more likely, that I'm there or that I'm not there?
I know what's more likely, and that is that you're not there. You're not.
But
going
you forget that I have plenty of people that are going to tell me where it is.
But you don't have the nerve to do that. It's such an awful thing to do. You don't just show up for someone's rehearsal dinner.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'm collecting on what you owe me.
You're not a bad person. Only a bad person would do that.
How's that a bad person? All I'm doing is walking in, saying what I have to say, and leaving.
And then the other thing I did over the weekend is one of my least favorite activities, but I will say I had a lot of fun. I went to a bar crawl. It was for charities. So that was nice. We went to a bar crawl in the city, so I didn't really have time to watch movies. But I will get to them, I promise, which brings us to our next question, and this is from Todd in Cape Cod. And he asks, I mentioned this, how likely are you to use the Force when you're in a draft? Is it recommended, and what are the scenarios?
I did it to Dave a few weeks ago. He didn't even know that I did it to him.
Well, that's the Force.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I told him there was I forget which draft it was, but I said, how can you pass on Tom Brady here? Because I had no intention of drafting Tom Brady. And he was like, I guess I have to do it. And he did it. I think it was our magazine draft. Let me see.
It probably was.
Yeah.
I took Tom Brady in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got
forced. When you said that, I was debating between him and Terrell Pryor.
Right, and I wanted Pryor. I think I drafted him.
I don't care. I wanted the guy I wanted.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was round four. You were up at the sixth pick, and I was like, I think I said out loud, I'm like, I can't believe Tom Brady's here. Dave, you got to take Tom Brady here. And then you did.
You don't need to take Tom Brady here. Oh, you got to laugh. All right, next email, real one.
I think he's just laughing about what happened.
Yes.
All right, well, it's good timing.
I'm glad you got Terrell Pryor. I'm happy with Tom Brady.
This is from Christopher Walter in Palm Coast, Florida. It sounds very nice. Dear Miles, Mitch, and Solomon. Draft picks.
Those would be the first three players taken in the 2017 draft.
Do you guys play in best ball leagues? If so, what is your strategy when drafting? Keep up the great advice, the hot takes, and the mild humor. We're definitely keeping up the mild humor today. best ball leagues. I actually have never done this, but I absolutely will this year. Why don't you guys give us a little rundown here of what they are and your strategies?
Well, I think the idea would be you want guys who are going to stay healthy. That's a hard to say, but that's your goal.
What are they? Let's start with the basics.
The guys are going to stay healthy?
No. Best ball leagues.
Oh, they're leagues that you just draft. It's like roto leagues for football, but you just draft them and you don't touch them.
Right. You draft. Right. You don't make any pickups or anything. You just draft and that's your team.
And everybody counts. It's not like bench points don't count. Your players on your bench count.
Right. Now, do they count like... You draft three quarterbacks. Is it the one who scores the best is the score you keep?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Is that, say you draft six wide receivers, but only the three best are the ones you get credit for.
Those are probably MFLs, I would assume.
Yeah, I think they're the same thing.
Okay, yeah.
With that being the case, you don't mind going for inconsistent players. In fact, you're looking for value from those inconsistent players because you don't have to make the decision about whether or not to start. I'll give you one of the most inconsistent players around, Emmanuel Sanders. was one of them last year. As you know, Adam, because you had him and you hated him and now you don't even want him. You would rather draft Colonel Sanders than Emmanuel Sanders. But you can draft him in a best ball knowing that the weeks where he does pop off, they're good. They're really good. And he'll help carry you to some high scoring weeks those weeks.
I also did think this would probably be the format to take some chances, right? To take some big upside chances.
Like a Breshad Perryman could be fantastic.
I don't know if you could actually call anybody a total bust in a best ball, but you could certainly take players a little too soon.
Yeah. This is a good format if you are in too many leagues, you just want to do some drafts and not think about it for the rest of the year. Seriously, and that's what you do. You just let it play out. All right, next email is from Hakeem from the land of many lakes. The Lando Lakes. Buttertown. Mild humor. Dear Will, Jeff, and Carlton. Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
In a dynasty league, we have a slow draft starting on August 1st for all rookies and free agents. For dynasty leagues, when is the best time to have a rookie draft? I used to think later was better, but now I think a couple weeks after the NFL draft is better. What are your thoughts, and how do I convince my league mates to move the draft up?
I think if you do it soon after the draft, then you've got something real fun to look forward to after the draft. Whereas you don't have to wait until when everybody else drafts, which is August, September. You get to do some of that drafting now in May. And I like that. I think that that's a good time to do it. So I agree with Hakeem.
Are we talking about our rookie draft this week?
Yeah, we can do it on Thursday.
Okay, so I won't tell you the results.
We could really drill deep into some of these rookies on that show. Talk about why we took who we took and who we like. I had to end up ranking all the running backs after the Cook, Mixon, McCaffrey, not in that order, but that threesome, and Fournette obviously is at the top. I basically had to figure out which running back I like fifth best.
You did that for our magazine, and Heath has done that for our site, so if anybody wants to look at that now.
Well, they can't look at it for the magazine now.
No, they could look at Heath's
unless they're listening
now.
To this like a month later.
They could look at Heath's rankings now if they want to see it.
Right, but that's not my rankings. Right. Those are Heath's.
I'm saying if somebody wants a rookie rank list, they could look at Heath's now.
They can also just tune in to the next podcast.
There you
go.
They'll
get everything that they want, and they'll be happy. And it'll be wonderful, and we'll all have balloons and ice cream cones.
And spoiler alert, they might be able to watch the next podcast, not live, but eventually we're going to be doing some video podcasts. It'll be the same. If you want to listen to audio, it'll be exactly the same, but they will also have them for you if you want to watch some VODs.
Adam's got to shave.
Shower. You know, I don't know that I definitely don't have to shower. I don't know that I have to shave. I might shave, but they kind of told me, like, just do what you do and don't even worry about the cameras. So there probably will be some nose picking. Alec Dunlap has a tweet. I know you guys aren't particularly high on Philadelphia. I don't know if that's true. But
we weren't last year.
Not this year. Yeah, right. I think Alshon Jeffrey and Jordan Matthews are potential Azer strategy candidates. # Azier strategy. Alec, you spelled my last name wrong. How dare you?
Maybe that's what we call it, the Azier strategy.
No,
where
no.
Purposely your name misspelled.
No,
AZ like Arizona, IER.
The Azier's.
Azier strategy.
Yeah. Wide receiver Azier is almost like tears. But anyway, I do not think Jeffrey and Jordan Matthews are potential Azier strategy candidates, not who I would pair. Because I don't really think that Jordan Matthews steps up to that number one role and becomes what you wanted Alshon Jeffrey to be. That's sort of part of it, you know? And so, I almost think Jordan Matthews might be better off as a number two wide receiver. But yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't put them in the Izier strategy, but what about you?
I think Matthews benefits from these two guys being here because he goes back to being locked into the slot role, which is where he's been more successful. But I think if the idea would be that if Jeffrey goes down, I don't think Matthews all of a sudden becomes great.
Right. Where did Jordan Matthews go, if at all? He went in the 11th round. First pick
in
the
11th
round.
He goes late. I almost feel like I have him ranked too low. Heath is very high on him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see, Alec. Aizer, my friend. A little help for you. This is from Andrew. Where's he from?
Washington, D.C.
Have been doing some 10-team drafts and end up with this combo: Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, and Kirk Cousins.
Washington, D.C. indeed.
Did you know that? Or did you?
No, No.
Cool.
I was just thinking about places I've been this offseason.
Is that way too much faith in the Washington passing game? And who do you guys like the least in standard leagues at their current draft position? Pryor, Crowder, Doxson, and Cousins.
Who do I like the least?
I don't know if I'm drafting Doxson yet.
No, but I think if Terrell Pryor gets too expensive, I'm not going to like him. Because I would not be surprised at all if Crowder's their best receiver.
Now, what do you think about putting all... I don't get it. Like, I'm fine with having the same teammates. I don't know that this is the offense in a 10-team league that I want to do it on. I expect it to be a good offense. I don't know if it's going to be great.
But to be fair, I think the Crowder, Doxson, and Cousins picks are all late picks for Andrew. Whereas Pryor, hopefully, is a round 4 pick. That's a great value for him, I would say.
And you're talking about, you know, just looking at last year. Well, I guess hard to say because there were three significant guys there. Because Crowder scored 7 touchdowns, right?
He did. Something like that. He scored a lot.
7 touchdowns, yeah.
He was very good.
Yeah. But I don't know that he's a late pick, though. I think he's more like...
No, he's a mid-round pick.
Mid-round, yeah.
And it's interesting because I don't think the public has necessarily caught on to how good he could be.
This is from Trevor. I had a thought listening to one of the post-draft podcasts that it might not be a bad idea to use a couple of very late picks to draft O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. You could start one of the two early in the season, see how the situation plays out, maybe switch to Howard if he shines. Best case scenario is both Howard and Brate are awesome Tampa Bay tight ends, and you could start both as a tight end and a flex if your roster is failing. I have dubbed it the modified Azer strategy for unknown but potentially high upside tight ends.
Oh, good. The MASFUBPHUT strategy.
Rolls right off the tongue. Yeah.
Why would you spend the extra pick on Brate? Why don't you
just
draft O.J. Howard, start with him, and then if Brate turns out to be better, do the old swapperoo off of waivers.
I mean, there's no chance that both of these guys are going to be starters for you unless it's a 14-team PPR league and you could put one as your flex. Like, there's just no scenario where your roster is so bad that you have to flex the second tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right, but the hope would be is that you get the Chargers tight ends from last year where they're both top 12 guys.
Yeah, but are you going to really roster both? I'm thinking no. Maybe you try to trade one. That would be best case scenario. Right? Like, nobody rosters. You don't typically roster two tight ends unless you don't like your tight end and you're just guessing.
Sure.
A
couple more here. This is from Brian in Vancouver, Canada. Dear Daniel, Henrik, and Mats. These are hockey players. 2 Sedins and a Sundin. Swedish NHL legends. Legends? Did I say that right?
You just butchered the word legends.
2-player keeper league, standard format. I can keep the 2 players as many years as I want. No draft pick compensation. It's a 2 running back, 2 receiver flex league. I'm going to keep Le'Veon Bell. 2nd keeper, Jordan Howard or Dez Bryant?
No round?
Nope. You just get to keep them and enjoy them.
I take Howard.
Me too.
He also says, I'm a Cowboys guy in a league full of Cowboys haters, so it's possible that if I do keep Howard, Dez could still be there when I pick.
Oh,
so
perfect.
There you go. Keep Howard. And Tracy in water-flooded region of Missouri. Ugh, sorry, bud. Hope that, or I don't know, Tracy, male or female, but hope everything's okay there. Hello, Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Did I say those right? Is that us?
Offensive lineman for the Packers.
I'm kidding, everybody. I know who they are and know how to say their names. In a league that awards double the points for touchdowns scored out of position, like a wide receiver running a touchdown or a kick or a punt return.
Tyreek Hill in round 1.
That's the question. And bonus points for long touchdowns. Double the points for touchdowns beyond 40 yards. Where would you move Tyreek Hill up in your ranks? Last year, for reference, Jamie, he was the number 5 wide receiver in this league.
Yeah, it's the same thing like with the special teams, because when you factor in special teams, we've talked about that the dynasty draft that you hate that Heath created. He was the 3rd best wide receiver in that format. So I believe I took him in round 4 of a 14-team league.
He wants to know, I guess the second part of the question is, do you take Tyreek Hill in the 10th round instead of Amari Cooper in the 4th or Martavis Bryant in the 10th?
Yeah.
He'd
because,
be
I mean, Tyreek Hill is basically a 6th, 7th round pick in standard leagues right now. So then you change the format and add that, you know, additional bonus points. Like, this guy should absolutely be targeting Curtis Samuel.
John Ross.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the guy to keep in the 10th. I will say that I don't think there's a great sample of this because long touchdowns are pretty rare. But I can
it's
think
the touches, of... It's the touches out of position.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right. But I'm just, as far as long touchdowns go, that's kind of a red flag. I can think of two examples of players who had a lot of long touchdowns and then disappointed us after to different degrees. One was Anton Smith, and nobody really bought into it. That was like, how is he doing this? And the other was Victor Cruz. His best season, he had a ton of like really long touchdowns, and he never was as good. He was still good after that, but he never was as good.
But then, you talked about this, I think it was the last show, about Beckham's red zone potential being taken away by Marshall.
Right.
And how he scores long touchdowns.
That's what I was about to say. But then there's a guy like Beckham. I think the truly elite players can score long touchdowns. But it is fair to say maybe he won't score as many. So something to keep in mind. That's a bit of a fluky stat. Like 40, 50, 60-yard touchdowns. All right. I'm out of material, guys. I could do my Obi-Wan again, but I think I'm gonna pass.
Why don't you do another pun on an NFL player's last name?
Give me a player.
Nick Kwiatkowski.
Kwiatkowski, you. All right.
Here, you want to do one for real?
Yeah, sure.
I just drafted this guy in our dynasty. Kevin Minter. Minter.
I barely knew her.
Hmm?
I barely knew her.
I stepped all over it. Say it again.
Minter, I barely knew her.
Yeah, that's good.
Not bad, right? Nailed that. Keep them coming. All right, that's it for the show. We'll be back on Thursday. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Talk to you then.
Bye.